Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, doing the best that can be done to equip patriots, hopefully that's you, with the tools you need to preserve your liberty. This is episode 21-27, the 27th episode of 2021. We'll talk about a few different things today. But I wanted to tell you why there was no episode last week. There was no episode last week because I was in Ohio with my good friend John, and we were flying airplanes, flying remote control airplanes at a thing called Flight Fest 2021. That's a thing that a YouTube and now e-commerce company called Flight Test puts on. Flight Test makes a lot of foam board airplane kits that you can build yourself, and they have all the motors and the batteries and everything else. And so John said, hey, let's go to this thing. And I said, well, okay. And it's a lot of work, you know, to go 7 hours away when you've got stuff to do around town. And one of the things that I didn't have time to do was make an episode last week. But I'll tell you what, Flight Fest was a blast. So normally you go to one of these remote control things and it's a bunch of guys flying airplanes. That's all it is. Flight Fest is about building and experimenting. And so there was a ton of young people there. I didn't bring my boys, but next year I'm definitely bringing my boys. But every day they had aerial combat, every day. So actually multiple times a day, sometimes four or five times, they would have aerial combat. And what aerial combat is basically everyone throws their planes up in the air and tries to run into each other, which is actually not as easy as it sounds. If you're trying to catch or run into another plane, it's very difficult. All the person has to do is turn left or right, and boom, you missed them. And that's typically what you see. I ran into one of my airplanes into another guy when we were just flying. That happens all the time. But when you want to run into somebody, it's not so easy. So imagine 100+ airplanes all flying around up in the air. It's total chaos, and it's a blast. And then everyone crashes. Not everyone, but most people crash. You know, you'll break a prop, you'll do something catastrophic. But you take your plane back to the build tent. They had three giant build tents, and you fix it. And then you do it again and again and again and again. Some of these guys had built these really creative little flying discs. They would kind of just hover around. Almost impossible to take out of the sky. It was kind of funny. One, you know, this guy that was flying one of those rigged up a string and a little parachute so that if you caught the string, it would actually suck your plane out of the air. It was really funny. So stuff like that. And it was a blast. It was like being a kid again. And that's a nice thing in the culture and the world that we live in. I don't know how I feel about Ohio. It was a little cooler and less humid, but it did rain a lot. Driving through West Virginia, West Virginia is beautiful. So that was kind of nice. But it was dark, so not much to see. So that's why there was no episode last week. There are a couple new shirts up on the store. One is the Killdozer shirt, and you can go check that one out. That one just sold one of those, so that's kind of cool. And then the next one up, the one for this week, is one of my favorites. I have a whole list of shirts that I'm working on. But this is one of my favorites, and it says, snitches get stitches, communists get ditches. And it's got a picture of a backhoe. So that's one of my favorite little taglines, so hopefully that one takes off. We'll see what happens there. My next shirt after that is going to be something related to homeschooling. I haven't quite figured out the wording fully on that one yet, but it should be pretty good. I think you'll like it, especially if you're a homeschooler. All right, I want to talk about a couple things here, but let's jump right in. After this word about our sponsor, Act to Care of the Blue Ridge, actikareofthebluerigge.com/blue-ridge. Act to Care is in-home senior care for your senior loved one when you can't be there. Whether you're in Smith Mountain Lake, Roanoke, Lynchburg, Bedford, out in the country, get in touch with them and see how they can help you take care of your senior loved one. ACTIKARE.com/Blue-Ridge. John and his team will take great care of you. So first up is a man named Joe Biggs, and this is his report from jail. You almost want to call it prison because it's different than jail. This man's not been convicted. And the story that we're going to hear about him right now is the story of many others who participated in the Capitol riots of January 6th. The non-riot riots. You know what a riot was? A riot was 5th and Federal here in Lynchburg. A riot was what was going on up in Richmond. And those people, almost all of them, involved in the court system right now, the ones that are actually being pursued, they're almost all out of jail right now, whether on own recognizance or bail. But these people, most of them, were charged with trespassing. And then this is the treatment that these prisoners of war essentially are getting. Because listen to this. This sounds like something you would treat a actual terrorist or criminal with. This says, Joe Biggs, today is my 3-month anniversary of being locked up, not allowed to work out. My body feels as if it's aged so much I can hardly move. Walking has become very difficult. I sleep on a piece of steel welded to a wall with a thin mattress. Now I have major lower back pain issues and shoulder pain from the bed. I've gotten maybe 10 hours outside altogether since being here. I get to go outside maybe 3 times a month. The food here is all soy-based, so it's weakening our bodies. Hardly any protein. Mostly processed foods and some kind of gelatin dog food-looking stuff. No privacy allowed when going to the bathroom. You have to be in view of everyone. Each cell has a shelf. You're not allowed to use it. Nothing can be placed on it. Lights go out at 11:45 p.m. and back on at 4 a.m. for breakfast. Luckily, the showers are only one person allowed at a time. Every cell has a small window that has been sandblasted, so you can never see outside. Breaking any rules can result in losing ability to talk to family or a trip in the hole for a few weeks where you are stripped naked and left in a bright, freezing room. I have anxiety bad now. Panic attacks so bad I black out. There are actually white supremacist gang members here who hate the fact the media call Proud Boys white supremacists. They tested me on what it means to be one of them, and I failed miserably. Good. Well, I can tell you, I'm glad I didn't go on January 6th. I'm glad I did not go. I've been up so many times to so many rallies, and I just didn't see the point. I could see the writing on the wall. I could see what they were up to, and I said, I'm not going up there for that. And look what happened. Some of these guys walked through at the waving on of police officers, handing them bottles of water, and yet they were part of a siege. I wish this was a siege. I wish they had, you know, gone in and gone crazy. That would have been awesome. Everyone, you know, at least then what they had supposedly done could have been legitimately called what they had supposedly done. But they haven't done any of that. A bunch of guys walked in. A few idiots, you know, sat in some offices and did some of this and that. I mean, okay, fine. Is that trespassing even? Because the doors were wide open. I don't know. I don't know what the legal definition is and what they're being charged with as far as everybody. But I do know that you'd treat terrorists like this because you're trying to extract information. You're trying to punish them. This is ridiculous. And unfortunately, we have nobody anywhere that seems capable of helping these people. So they're just going to have to linger in suffering. I will say, what he said about the soy-based thing, that sucks. Because I've recently discovered that I'm pretty sure I'm allergic to soy. And it's in everything. I mean, I'm reading the packages and it's in everything. So that's a problem. I do feel much better, less stiff, now that I've cut soy out of my diet. But, yeah, it's pretty nuts. And, I mean, you got one positive about being stuck, you know, pretty much locked away the whole time is that you don't have to worry about a lot of the bad stuff that happens in jail. Instead, you get this whole other bad stuff. So I think that the story is not over here. There's a great quote by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And it says, "To do evil, a human being must first of all believe that what he is doing is good. Ideology. That is what gives devil doing its long-sought justification and gives the evil doer the necessary steadfastness and determination. That is the social theory, which helps to make his acts seem good instead of bad in his own and others' eyes, so that he won't hear reproaches and curses, but will receive praise and honors." Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Sound familiar? Sounds a lot like what's going on with these guys. They must think they're doing good, these capital rioters. I'll show them. I'm Mr. Tough Guard Man. I'm going to punish him, this guy. Pile of brass, baby. Pile of brass. If you're going to go out in a pile of brass. Don't go out like this. This is a whimper. This sucks. Can you imagine getting stuck like this? Oof. Joe Biggs, by the way, is one of the Proud Boys. I only have a picture here. I haven't done any background research. Looks like a veteran. And it looks like a tough guy. And I'm sure he's just a patriot. You know, he's hanging out there with one of his buddies who's a black man, shaking his hand. I mean, it's like white supremacists. Pray for those people. Pray for those people that they could receive justice, and that those evildoers would receive their justice as well, whatever that might be. All right, let's talk about Rand Paul was laid into Fauci, and Fauci was pushing back. Fauci is the chief knight of the science, and Rand Paul's having none of it. It's pretty awesome. Now, Rand Paul is a medical doctor. I don't know what kind of doctor Dr. Fauci is, probably a PhD, but we'll just see.
Things got pretty testy this week in Congress, too, when Senator Rand Paul accused Dr. Anthony Fauci, the liberal left secular saint of the pandemic, of lying to cover up his role as head of America's National Institutes of Health in funding research into, guess what, coronaviruses at, guess where, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Have a look.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by
entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. So what was, let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly.
Things got even testier, if you can believe it.
This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And Rand Paul wasn't having any of Dr. Fauci's attempts to redefine gain-of-function research. Watch him here demolish claims that what was going on, funded by the National Institutes of Health, wasn't about making viruses more deadly or wasn't the sort of thing that might cause a global pandemic.
Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens, that exist only in the lab."
Now, this is important because if Fauci, through intermediaries, funded gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the story of where the coronavirus came from becomes a lot more interesting. Already we know that the NIH, through another group called EcoHealth, funneled large amounts of cash to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for various projects, including research, yes, on bat coronaviruses. We know that there was a pause in that research from 2014 to 2017, as Senator Paul said, because of the controversies and risks around it. And we also know from Dr. Fauci's own emails that from the very start of the pandemic, he was concerned that gain-of-function research his agency was associated with could have been somehow tied into the pandemic. So even if you accept Dr. Fauci's incredibly legalistic definition of the term gain-of-function, the fact remains that he and the Obama administration were still collaborating with a Chinese lab controlled by the People's Liberation Army to take on risky research, and there has been zero accountability for that fact. At least, not so far. After the exchange we just watched, Senator Paul said he was going to ask the Department of Justice for a criminal referral into Fauci and whether he lied to Congress. It may not be possible to bring back those lives or livelihoods lost to the pandemic, but there may just be some justice for them after all.
So, there's a great meme floating around that says the difference between conspiracy theory and reality these days is 6 to 12 months. And that's very true, because 6 to 12 months ago, this whole Wuhan lab thing, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. And now, yeah, it's true. And then what conspiracy theories might we be a part of right now? Oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. This vaccine is totally safe. It's totally fine. Speaking of, well, the vaccine, we have funny, isn't it? If you die within 28 days of testing positive for Rona, no matter what other factors were involved, you know, you're a big fat guy, you have health problems, whatever, you'll be counted as a COVID death. However, if you drop dead within 24 hours of taking the vaccine, nothing to do with it at all. Nothing. I am not getting that thing. If you notice, there's a theme. Listen for the words. 99%. We have 99% of our people vaccinated. You're hearing that from different businesses, different institutions. I heard it in two different conference calls as I was wandering around working in one of the hospitals. Heard it on two different things. I've seen it on news reports now. There's something there. 99%, 99%. No, you don't. I know for a fact that that's not true, because there are fake vaccine cards floating around that will check out as legitimate, that people are using when they're going back to school and when they're going to work. So I tell people that's what Photoshop's for. I'm not getting the thing. And I've told my employer that if another one of these stupid things comes from China and they shut everything down again, that he can just lay me off, because I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. If I'm going to go be a freeloader, I'm just going to go be a freeloader with all the other freeloaders and keep prepping. This is ridiculous. It was a great exchange you just heard with Rand Paul and the Lord of the Science, and where the Lord of the Science was mad because no one has questioned him like this to this point. Well, other than Rand Paul. Nobody is pushing back. Nobody is asking serious questions. And then the questions they ask are, it's a farce anyway. It's like, oh, you know, it's this nonsense about, well, we're having a hearing. And now he's going to send off a criminal referral to the DOJ. You mean the DOJ controlled by Bumbles? That DOJ? Oh, good luck with that. Good luck actually getting anything done there. So I wouldn't keep your hopes up. I wouldn't expect that these evildoers are going to be punished. I guess we're in just this time of evil doing, and the evildoers get to do whatever they want. Here's a funny thing. This will make you laugh. So somebody's poking fun at the FBI. So the FBI's Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. This says, protecting the United States from terrorist attacks is the FBI's top priority. We work closely with our partners to disrupt violent plots to keep our communities safe from harm. This guy named Jesse Kelly, D.C., says, are you guys still planning on kidnapping and assassinating the governor of Michigan? Or was that just an effort to make people on the right look like terrorists so you could justify coming persecution of your political enemies? There's a whole bunch of these popping up because that's essentially what happened. I think it was 16 of the 21 involved in this supposed plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan were FBI either paid informants or I don't know if they were outright staff. So the people involved in this that weren't those guys were like, hey, isn't that entrapment? I mean, when you're having your hand held right up to the door and you know those people that are holding your hand are helping kick the door down, is it really burglary or is that entrapment, the government doing that? And that's what we see. You know, FBI now stands for faking bogus investigations, and it's not about actually stopping criminals. If it was, you know, Hillary, Bumbles' son, Bumbles himself, and lots of other people would be behind bars right now, or at the very least working their way through the criminal justice system. But they're not, because that's not what this organization does anymore. I mean, they haven't been doing their job probably since, I don't know, the 80s? I don't know when this started, when this communist takeover of the FBI started, but they used to fight communists, and now they seem to be in bed with them, doing their bidding. All right, next up, we're going to talk about weapons caching. This is interesting, and it's from the Raconteur Report. I will post a link in the show notes, which you can find at radiofreevirginia.com. As a follow-up to the previous cache guidance, the topic of weapons comes up, and it should. Firstly, I would never keep everything in any category I owned all in a neat package. All in one neat package. We all know two is one and one is none. But it's also true that 5 or 10 is really spiffy, and 30 or 40 is quite a party. And if you have the means, anyone with enough Glock pistols and AR rifles plus a basic load of ammo to pass out in quantity is going to become the captain of the local pipe-hitting team in short order, if things go all the way to Sporky. And 20 guys shooting one rifle apiece is way better than one guy trying to shoot 20 rifles at once. But we're not going to rehash and rewrite the book on weapons caching here. You should download it yourself, and he has a link to Special Forces Caching Techniques, and this one too, Modern Weapons Caching by Ragnar Benson. And obviously, if you can squirrel away a buried 40 Connex container with a Ma Deuce M79s and full auto weaponry and quantities to arm up a battalion task force, without doing hard time in the federal lockup, by all means do that. Of rather more concern today is what else you should probably think about squirreling away in your cache. Or cache, depending on how you say it, I guess. The reason to cache weapons. Because keeping everything in one place is short-sighted and potentially fatal. Because you may need them someplace else in the future and don't have the ones you did formerly. Because you'll be moving from point A to point B because A is overrun and otherwise untenable. Nota bene. Your ultimate survival hidey hole could either be one of those two points. In other words, you could be trying to get from some blue hive hellhole, or you might have been there and become dislodged. So having pre-planned, pre-surveyed, and pre-stashed supplies along possible entry and exit routes is always a good idea whenever possible. Not all weapons go bang, and while firearms are great whichever way you're headed when you need a cache, you might need something quiet rather than a rifle or pistol. Having the means to take game silently would be highly recommended then. Some great choices: takedown, bow or crossbow, a fishing rig, a sling or slingshot, ammunition for the above, spare bowstring, slingshot rubber, and pouches and other maintenance supplies. You know, I'm going to stop here because I don't know if you ever noticed things like that. They break down over time. So if you get something stored away, squirreled away somewhere, and you never use it, it's, you know, you might come to it, and then all of a sudden it crumbles. There's a lot of these old masks, gas masks, you know, wasting away. Yeah, he's got a list here: snare wire, rat traps, fishing tackle, fishing net, spear points. One gentleman I read had made provisions for even getting separated from his shooting irons in Kanukistan while out hunting by stashing snare wires and rat traps, along with little tubes or retort pouches of peanut butter all over his hunting AO and back towards his regular home, planning to trap tree rats, squirrels, and rabbits indefinitely and simply walk home for as long as it took. Add a cargo pocket fishing kit to that plan, and it'd likely suffice to get anyone from the Yukon to Yucatan and put on weight all the way. Some people plan to, or already have, packed away a small arsenal of boomsticks and ammo, but circumstances might dictate that quiet is better than loud and healthier in the long run. So when you're thinking about what to sock away, consider you too might want to pass through an area well fed, yet without disturbing anyone, or giving them reason to come find you and see what's going on, or to take away your shiny toys from your cold, dead hands. Gear without training or experience is just stuff. If you're likely to do any or all of the things I mentioned, or need to, it would be a good idea to try out your plan, while you can, in the exact places you may someday pass through, to see what works and learn how to do it, which can only be done by actually getting out and doing it. If you've never trapped, skinned, cooked, or eaten something, you aren't going to get the ability to do any of that by osmosis or magic beans on the day. Obey all applicable fish and game regs, but get out there and learn this while your pantry and freezer is full and you haven't notched your belt any tighter. Don't wait until it's a success or death game of you bet your life. And there's a lot of other stuff you could cash along the way. But regardless, however you want to get started, might be something you should think about doing. If you've never squirreled something away in the woods before, I would highly recommend you give it a try. It's a lot of fun. You know, you could test out whatever you want to put it in by just burying it in your backyard, see how it holds up. I will say that things that are metal don't typically hold up great in those. Even if they're sealed really well, and mine was, the natural condensation and the heating and cooling of the thing in the ground creates moisture. So you're going to want to have something in there that absorbs that moisture and solves that problem for you. So I had thrown in a metal AR mag with steel-cased ammo and basically things that I knew would rust, and just I wanted to see what would happen. And they did. They rusted. Now, they would still work, but if you don't want that to happen, throw some desiccant in there and let it absorb that moisture. They make these plumbing seal things that have a nut on one side. You just tighten them and it expands the rubber seal. Those are really good if you want to be able to access it easily. You could put a round end cap on the pipe, and then they make these things and that stuff. There's lots of videos on YouTube about how to do it, so you might want to give that a try. And I've known others that have buried much larger things. This tube was only, I don't know, 12 inches long. Here's another post talking about food. It says, highly suggest stocking up on food. This is from a guy named Michael Yon. Water security crucial. Food prices will continue to rise. 90% chance. Remember that I started beating this drum hard in January of 2020. Highly suggest you stock up on all things you need to stay home for extended periods. Do not tell others you are prepping. If you live around smart people who are prepped, your risks are much lower. If you live around people who are taking inventory of preppers, you are their backup plan. I use a Berkey water filter for home and a Katadyn pocket filter for travel. Prices for both went way up since I started warning in January of 2020. Remember that when your water goes out, your toilets do not work. Everyone's conditions are different. Some live in condos in Manhattan, others live in distant areas with clear mountain streams, or on islands or deserts and so on. Everyone has their own circumstances. Everyone needs food and water. Stock up on medications. I warned you of this in January. Much of our pharmaceuticals come from China. After I warned, CCP threatened to cut off America. NBA and Hollywood and some Congress people are still taking a knee. Stock up. It has become clear that vaccines are not working as advertised. Government fallback now, in the face of the obvious, is that people are becoming less ill when they have been vaccinated. This sets the stage for the great vaccine escape. Endless jabs with untested substances of many sorts from various sources, rolling the dice again and again and again. All while vaccinated people continue to become infected, and the virus learns to pick the locks. So what, right? You should learn about prepping. I'm not going to turn this into a prepping podcast. There's lots of stuff out there for prepping. Whether that's, you know, and it doesn't start with shooting. Talked about that before. Starts with food. Because if you can't feed yourself, it doesn't matter if you can defend yourself. You're going to die. So you got to be able to feed yourself. And food, the ability to feed yourself, the ability to defend yourself is power. And that seems to be the world we're starting to inherit, the one that only understands power. So good luck. That's something to think about. Well, I want to close with this story, and it has to do with negligent discharges. Back on the 4th of July, I was in Bedford. We were having this little festival thing at a park there. It's somewhere near the D-Day Memorial. And I was coming back with my wife after we were walking up this long hill back to our cars, which we had parked across the street at a church with a bunch of other people. And we're coming across the street, and I hear this police officer say, I need you to roll medic this way. And I immediately, my alarm bells start going off. I go, I wonder what it is. Maybe somebody's had a heart attack or a stroke or something. They're dehydrated. Who knows? And so the series of things that happened very quickly, within probably five steps. So I hear this as step one. I hear this from the police officer, step one. Step two and three is me continuing to walk across the street. Step four, I'm passing a vehicle, and I hear a weapon being cleared. I look over, and I see a Glock. And the person is getting out of the car, and he's freaked out. And the police officer is the one clearing, one of the other police officers clearing this weapon. So step four, I smell gunpowder. And I look over, and I see an unresponsive woman in the driver's seat. And this guy's starting to freak out, and he's saying, I'm not a bad person, I'm not a bad person. Step five, it clicks in my head what has just happened. And somehow or another, a negligent discharge has happened. And I grabbed my wife, I put her by the side of a building, and I looked at her and I said, we have to figure out a way to get out of here right now, because we're going to get stuck here for 2 hours if we don't get out of here right now. There's nothing I can do. I have no medical training. There's nothing I can offer. I didn't witness anything. I'm only seeing the aftermath. So there's nothing, there's no reason for me to stay there. So I run behind the church, and I see that there's an open way through the grass into the neighboring person's driveway, and I can get out of there. So I say, get to the car now. And we go to the car, and she knows, we've had this conversation before. She knows when I tell her things like this, she just has to do it. And so, you know, she's very keyed in. She knew something was up, and she's going to say, whatever you say, and we're going to do it. And so that's what happens. Get in the car, throw the chairs in the trunk, slam the trunk, get in the car, out of there. And it was because I was keyed in. I had situational awareness of what was going on. And it was crazy the amount of information that you can get within five steps and that can just drive right into your brain and you know exactly what is going on. And here's what happened. It was a negligent discharge, and she died. And he's currently sitting in jail awaiting manslaughter charges. And it's 100% preventable. If he had followed the basic, just a few of the basic firearm safety rules, if he had not pointed that gun at anything he didn't want to destroy, if he had kept his finger off the trigger, if he just followed those two rules, nothing, this would not have happened. Now, I was telling somebody else this story, and he actually knew this family. And he said they had a good relationship. He doesn't understand, you know, what happened here. Well, what happened was negligence. There's no such thing as an accidental discharge. If anyone says that, I want you to get that out of your mind. I want you to start thinking negligence. If your firearm goes off, it was negligence. Either you modified it and created that negligent discharge, or you weren't following the basic firearm safety rules, and you contributed to the negligence of that round going where it shouldn't have gone. I had this happen to myself years ago, 2008. I was at the range and I adjusted my shoulders and a round went off into the dirt. Now, I was practicing good firearm safety rules as far as pointing my gun where it needed to go, but I wasn't following another rule that's a little bit unknown to a lot of people, and that's indexing. Nobody had ever told me. I said, well, I had this look on my face of shock. I mean, how did this happen? And my friend who was with me, he knew, and he said, you know why that happened? I said, no, I have no idea why that happened. He said, you were not indexing. And I said, what's that? And he proceeded to explain to me. And if you notice, anyone that understands how to properly carry a firearm, especially in a tactical situation, you index. Your index finger rides along the very top right above the trigger. Your finger does not ride on the trigger. It rides above it. You index your finger along the frame of that pistol or rifle. And you will never accidentally pull that trigger. It won't happen. It's impossible. So think about that. I am 100% Second Amendment guy. If anyone's listened to this show from the beginning, you know, it's kind of where this started, was lobby day and talking about guns and gun rights. So I don't think that you should have to get any training to carry a gun. But I do think you're a fool if you don't. I think you're a fool if you don't understand firearm safety. You don't understand how to load that weapon, clear that weapon, clean that weapon. I think you're a fool. And this incident that I witnessed was 100% avoidable. And now that woman is dead, her kids don't have a mom, and that guy's in jail, all because he couldn't follow some basic firearm safety rules. So think about that. When you go out to the range, if you don't know the basic firearm safety rules, print them out, learn them, teach them, pass them on, and learn how to properly handle a firearm, because negligence doesn't need to happen. It's avoidable. Well, that's it for me. I'd like to thank you for listening and remind you, you were not made to fit in, you were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.